Hey everyone, welcome back to a special episode of the Daily Drop podcast. This week, instead of doing a weekly roundup, since the week was so short newsletter-wise and we didn't have tons of content, I decided to do something a little different, and I'm going to give you my annual roundup for 2023. So basically what I'll do is I'll walk through some of my travels from this year, not all of them, with the goal of sharing some of the best redemptions I made, some of my favorite travel experiences, and most importantly, hacks that I used, some of which are not so obvious travel hacks that you can hopefully take away and use on your own. So everything I talk about will have some kind of theme to it, some kind of hack involved with how I did it and why I'm sharing it with you. The reason I'm not sharing all of my travels is because, well, there was a lot of it. So let me start there. My stats, so to speak, for 2023 come out as follows. I took 105 flights, and that's actually including two flights that I have not yet taken this year. Even though I'm recording this on December 29th, you'll probably be listening to it at least on December 30th. I still have two more flights this year, but I'm not going to talk about those yet. I stayed 290 nights in hotels this year, and that is the final count for the year, which is absolutely absurd. That is not a normal travel year for me. This is definitely the most I've flown and the most hotels I've stayed in a single year. I spent 351 hours in flight on a plane. So that's not counting things like boarding, disembarking, waiting in the airport, going through security, going through customs and immigration. So yeah, that's 14 and a half days in flight. And probably I can at least double that for a total plane and airport time for the year. So a decent percentage of my year was spent on planes, which is ridiculous. I traveled to 52 countries this year, which is also not a normal year for me. I think my previous record was maybe 36 countries in one year. So this is the most places I've been to in a year, probably the most places I'll ever go in a single year, for sure. I say that now, but who knows? And most of my flights this year were in economy class. I think the vast majority of them were in economy, but I actually spent more time in business class. And that's one of my main, not like hacks, but one of my philosophies with how I use my miles and points. I tend to prioritize longer flights for business class. So I'll save up my points and use them for longer flights. Because I think the ratio works out a lot better. Because no matter what, in business class, you're going to pay at least a couple dozen or a few dozen thousand points, even for a really short flight. Whereas you can end up flying 20 or 30 hours in business class. So many times the amount of time in business class for fewer times the amount of points, if that makes sense. So I find that if I prioritize for longer flights, I'm getting better value for my points in terms of how many points it costs me to spend an hour in business class, let's say. So that's exactly what happened this year. Mostly economy flights, but most of my long-haul flights were in business class. And let's go back to the beginning of the year with my travels. So I started off the year in Tunisia. I think this was January 4th or 5th. And that was, if you read the Daily Drop, you'll know that I had a terrible experience in Tunisia upon landing. The police and the taxi drivers basically scammed me into getting into a taxi that tried to drive me out to the desert and rob me and take everything I have and tried to get me to wire them $10,000. And it was a huge mess. But I survived and didn't give them anything, thankfully. But something I didn't really talk about that much about that trip was in Tunisia, I stayed at a Marriott hotel that was brand new, super nice. This is in the capital city of Tunis. It cost me, I think, around 40,000 points for a five-night stay there, which is already a great deal. It was brand new. I got upgraded to a suite. I got free breakfast, which was incredible, and a $45 credit per day to use on hotel purchases, which I used every night for dinner at the restaurant. And I was able to get like an appetizer, a full main dish, and a couple glasses of wine. And that's in addition to free breakfast. So overall, it was just an incredibly valuable stay. And that just goes to show, that's one of the reasons I love Marriott. First of all, when you go abroad, you can find amazing deals for redemptions like this one. But also, when you go abroad, the elite benefits are much more robust than they are in the US and Canada and North America, and even Europe for that matter, for the most part. And so I find that I get a lot more value for my status and for my points abroad. From Tunisia, I went to Iraq, and this was one of the best travel experiences of my life because it's one of those places that no matter who you are, you probably have some kind of idea in your head of what this place is going to be like, and probably not the best impression. I knew that northern Iraq, which is Iraqi Kurdistan, they don't even consider themselves Iraqi, they consider themselves Kurdish. I knew that this was not going to be a scary or dangerous or crazy experience like that. It's very peaceful, one of the most peaceful regions in the world. It is not war-torn, it's not dangerous. There is high security still because it is Iraq, but you're not in danger as a tourist, and you don't need a visa as a U.S. citizen. You can show up and just enter Iraqi Kurdistan. And that's exactly what I did. And I actually stayed at a Category 1 Hyatt Regency in Erbil, the capital of Iraqi Kurdistan. And it was amazing. It was like a super luxurious Hyatt hotel that cost 3,500 or 5,000 points a night. And it was amazing. And in fact, Hyatt Category 1 hotels were a theme of my year. So I use a lot of examples in the newsletter when I talk about Hyatt points and the value of them and how you can redeem them for as few as 3,500 points a night if you're staying at a Category 1 hotel. And some people see that and they say, yeah, but Hyatt has up to Category 8. Most of their hotels are not Category 1. And my response is, yeah, true, but many of them are wherever you go in the world. And I'm proof of that because this year I stayed at Category 1 hotels. So these are all hotels that cost 3,500 or 5,000 points a night in Iraq, Colombia, Sweden, Frankfurt, Germany, Krakow, Poland, Amritsar, India, Mumbai, India, Jaipur, India, Shanghai, China, Prague, everywhere in the world, the Middle East, Europe, Africa, Asia, North America, there are Category 1 hotels where you can get that sort of extreme value for your Hyatt points. And in fact, I have a ton of Category 1 Hyatt hotels booked for 2024, which I can tell you more about another time. But the point is that Hyatt points are really valuable. I talk a lot about Category 1 hotels because I've stayed at a lot of Category 1 hotels, and I think that it's not unreasonable to justify the value of Hyatt points because of that fact. Okay, moving on. On that same trip, I then went to Tanzania. It was amazing. I love Tanzania, Mimi Ninapenda, Tanzania, and East Africa. I have spent a lot of time in East Africa. I love the culture. I love the Swahili language. My best friend lives in Tanzania, so it's always a pleasure to go there in general. But the highlight, travel hacking-wise, of this trip was actually the flight from Tanzania back home to Canada, where I flew Oman Air's business class from Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, to Zanzibar, which is the shortest 737 flight in the world. So even though you're on a pretty big jet, the flight lasts less than 10 minutes. It was awesome. As an aviation geek, it was a lot of fun. And then that same plane moves from Zanzibar to Oman, Muscat. And then from there, I flew from Muscat to Milan in the Dreamliner, also in business class, and then from Milan home on a different airline. But it was amazing because Oman Air is such a luxurious airline. Their business class, like some of the other best business class airlines in the world, feels more like first class than it does business class. And so you get these like really nice sort of pods. They don't have closing doors, but they feel very, very private. And mine even had like a little hallway type of thing that led to it. So it felt very private, very spacious, and it felt like first class. Which is what you can expect from all of these premium Middle Eastern airlines. So that was a huge highlight, and I used Aeroplan points to book that, which is another good hack. Even though Oman Air isn't part of the Star Alliance, you can use Aeroplan points to book them and get really, really good value. So my next big trip of the year was to Japan and Korea, two of my favorite places out there. So I spent most of my time in Tokyo and Yokohama, which is sort of like a suburb of Tokyo, just like maybe 45 minutes or an hour south. And in Korea, I was just in Seoul, but I had some amazing hotel redemptions on this trip and then finished off with maybe the best flight redemption of my year as well. So I booked through the Chase travel portal for Tokyo. So I stayed at like a super budget hotel. It cost like maybe $45 a night, but it was perfectly comfortable, just like a small single room. When I'm in Tokyo, I spend the vast majority of my time out and about. And so I didn't care so much about the hotel. I really just needed a bed. And because it was so cheap and I was earning 5x points with my Chase Sapphire Preferred by booking through the Chase portal, it was a no-brainer to just book a cheaper hotel. But, you know, I also like a little bit of that luxury life. And so I spent the last couple nights in Tokyo at the Conrad, which is a Hilton property. It costs like 90,000 to 100,000 Hilton points per night. And I decided on this trip that I just wanted to burn all of my Hilton points. I don't know why. I think I find that there are so many Hilton elites out there because it's so easy to get top tier Hilton status. You can just have a credit card and you get top tier status. And because of that fact, I find that it's hard to get things like benefits and upgrades. Like the breakfast is always packed. There are just too many elites there. And so I value my stays less because even though I have elite status, I don't feel like I'm getting the same value because a lot of the time the benefits don't mean as much and you can't even get them to be honored sometimes because there are too many elites. And so I decided on this trip to burn my Hilton free night awards and burn all my Hilton points, which was kind of a bold move, but it was so worth it because I stayed at the Conrad in Tokyo, which was awesome for a few nights. And then when I was in Seoul, I stayed at the Conrad in Seoul, which was even better than the Conrad in Tokyo. I got a suite upgrade to this amazing, massive suite. Honestly, way, way too big, but it was really cool to be there. This was at the Conrad in Seoul, one of the best hotels I've stayed at in my life. And so it was worth it to this day. And since then, I haven't really stayed in many Hilton hotels, only like if it's the only option in a city and there's like a cheap Hilton, I'll stay there still. But overall, I'm happy putting my efforts into Marriott, Hyatt, and IHG instead. But the highlight of this trip, by a long shot, was my flight home. I flew in ANA's The Room business class, which was amazing. This is a flight that can sometimes cost as much as $10,000. I flew from Tokyo to Los Angeles, and it was awesome. It's another one of those airlines where the business class feels more like first class, and I used 75,000 Aeroplan points to book it. But at the time, there was a 50% transfer bonus from Chase Ultimate Rewards. So I transferred 50,000 Chase points, got 75,000 Aeroplan points, and paid less than $100 in taxes and fees to fly for like 12 hours in one of the best seats in the sky. It was an awesome deal, an awesome redemption, an awesome experience. And yeah, it was just great. Then my next sort of bigger trip was to Central and South America. I went to Panama, didn't do much in Panama. Colombia, I've talked about a lot in the newsletter, so I won't really go into that. But one of the cool highlights in Colombia was I flew on LATAM Airlines, which is an awesome airline, from Cartagena to Bogota. And when I checked in online, it gave me the option to bid for a business class upgrade. And the minimum bid was $6, $6. And I said, you know what, screw it. Let's try. And I bid $6, and sure enough, nobody else put in a bid on that flight, and I was upgraded to business class for $6. So when you see those emails come in from airlines that it's like bid for a business class upgrade or something, don't just assume you're not going to get it if you put the absolute minimum in. For a lot of US airlines, the minimum is much higher. Like they're not going to sell you a $6 business upgrade. It might be like $100 or $150 minimum. But if you get that opportunity and you're like, yeah, I mean, if I could pay like $100 for business, I would. It's probably not going to happen, but I'll put in the bid anyways. It just goes to show that sometimes you actually can get it. So that's a good little tip there. On this same trip, I went to Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, and I stayed all in Hyatt hotels. And that's because one of my goals around this time, this was in like April, was to do the status challenge from Bilt. So for Bilt's rent day in April, they gave you automatic Hyatt explorer status. And if you spent a certain number of nights over the next X number of months in Hyatt hotels, you'd get upgraded to globalist. And so around this time, I was prioritizing Hyatt hotels. And thankfully, in Central and South America, there are lots of cheap options, including, like I mentioned earlier, a Hyatt Category 1 in Bogota that I spent 6 nights in. And just on this trip alone, and then a couple more stays after this trip, I was able to get upgraded to globalist well before I hit that 60-night threshold that you normally need to get upgraded to globalist. So that was exciting. In Guatemala, I ended up in the hospital because of an obscure illness, which is unfortunately par for the course for me. I get obscure illnesses all the time. But thankfully, I was able to use my Amex Platinum card insurance to cover all of those medical expenses. And I wrote a newsletter about that this year and how you can do that and the way I personally approach this. But the gist is that these premium cards that have insurance, if you call them beforehand and just say, hey, I'm in this situation, I'm sick, I think I need to go to a doctor or a hospital, they'll tell you exactly what to do. They'll say, okay, here's what we need from you. They'll just get a little information so you can go get your medical care and then take care of the rest later. And they'll tell you exactly what's covered. Obviously, if it's an emergency and it's a life or death situation, you should just go to the hospital. Don't worry about this kind of stuff. But for me, I was really not doing great, but not to the point where my life was at risk. And so I took care of this stuff ahead of time, made sure that I was covered before I went, filled out a claim afterwards, and all was well. So travel insurance can really come in handy in those situations. The next big trip I took was maybe the craziest trip. It was very weird. I started off in Scandinavia, didn't have any plans for where I was going to go after that. I flew into Copenhagen. I spent most of my time in Malmo, where I stayed at, you guessed it, another Hyatt Category 1 hotel in Malmo, Sweden. And I actually purchased points and then used points to book. The cash rate of this hotel for 5 nights would have come out to like $800, I think. But to buy the points, it only cost about $250 to book that same 5-night stay. Again, I wrote about this a few times in the newsletter. I call it like points arbitrage, where paying for points and then using points to book is cheaper than if you just pay the cash rate of the hotel. So it's not like you're getting it for free, but you're saving sometimes hundreds of dollars by buying the points and booking the same thing that you are going to just pay cash for and book anyways. From Scandinavia, I spent a week or so in Central Europe. I had a Lufthansa flight canceled, but thankfully EU has a law that if an airline is severely delayed or cancels a flight, that you are entitled to compensation for most reasons. Obviously, if it's like a safety thing or weather, it doesn't apply. This is called EU 261 is the law. And because of this canceled flight, I was rebooked onto the next available flight. And then I was also given $1,000 in compensation, which is actually way more than they're supposed to give me, but I didn't complain at all. They gave it to me the next day. So Lufthansa was very quick about this. And I was rebooked and I had to stay overnight in the airport this was in Frankfurt. And I booked, you guessed it, a Hyatt Category 1 airport hotel in Frankfurt. And my travel insurance actually covered the cost of that. It took a few months to get reimbursed. But again, travel insurance, knowing your rights when you're in Europe with these laws, talking to the airline to get rebooked, like I came out way ahead on this. I like profited on this because I was rebooked, so I didn't have to pay for another flight. I got reimbursed for my hotel stay that I needed from my insurance, and then I got another $1,000 profit right in my pocket. So, you know, when these kinds of things happen, it's always worth looking into your insurance. When you're booking the flight in the first place, making sure you're booking with a card that has good travel insurance. And then if you're in Europe, really, really make sure you submit a claim to get compensation if your flight is really delayed. Or if it's canceled. Even if you do get rebooked by the airline, you're still entitled to compensation. Then, on the same trip, I ended up going to Ukraine, which sounds crazy, I know, but I knew what I was doing, I knew what I was getting into, and it ended up being one of the most amazing travel experiences of my life. I spent 2 weeks in Ukraine, in the western city of Lviv, and it was awesome. It was not without its worries. There were like missile warnings, air raid sirens all the time. But for the most part, it felt quite safe being in the West. And I stayed at an awesome hotel that was a Best Western, actually. But it was so nice. It's one of the best hotels I've ever stayed at in my entire life. And it was a Best Western. And it kind of changed my perspective on how I make assumptions about these programs. I think of Best Westerns as kind of like depressing motel-esque places in the U.S. because that's what many of them are. But they're really nice Best Westerns all around the world. So now Best Western is a program I actually look at when I'm making travel plans because my assumptions are just sort of out the window when it comes to Best Western as a company. And yeah, Ukraine was amazing. And from Ukraine, I went to India and I started off in Amritsar, the holy city of Amritsar in the Punjab, which is in the north of the country, just a few miles from the Pakistan border. Very cool place. I stayed in, wait for it, a Category 1 Hyatt hotel. That's right. Even in India, they have these things in Amritsar, the Hyatt Regency there. And it was a really interesting stay, a really interesting city with lots of history. It's the center of the Sikh religion. So Sikhism is sort of based in Amritsar. It's like the holy city with the golden temple, lots to see and do. And then from there, I went to Jaipur. And about 2 hours north of Jaipur is this really interesting Hyatt property. I promise not all of my stays this year were Hyatt. Called the Alila Fort Bishangar, which is not in any town. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's down a long dirt road off of a highway. It's in the middle of nowhere. Really, really cool hotel. When I was there, it cost 18,000 points a night. I used two of my Hyatt Category 1 through 4 free night awards to book two nights here. Really, really cool place. I mean, it's built into this historic fort. There are tons of activities. It's very, very over-the-top luxurious, but with a historical twist around it. The staff was amazing. There was basically nobody staying at this place. And so as a globalist, I got to like know the staff. I got to know the manager. I got to know a lot of people who worked there, learn about the hotel, the history. They source all of their food from the local area and they make amazing, amazing Indian dishes using all local ingredients and stuff. It was just a really cool stay. It's a place that I would love to go back to sometime. It's just a great experience. And the fact that I could use Hyatt free night awards to book such a unique experience, again, just that's the value of Hyatt and where it comes from for me. Then on the same trip, I'm skipping a lot of things, by the way, on this trip. I'm trying to just pull out the most valuable or interesting things here. But from India, I went to Dubai and I stayed at a luxury hotel, the Andaz, on the Dubai Palm Jumeirah. That's that man-made island complex that is shaped sort of like a palm tree with all those branches coming off of it. And this is a really luxurious and expensive part of Dubai. But because I was there in July, which is, again, a bold move for Dubai, it's very, very hot. But because of that, it's the off-season. And I was able to book five nights at the Andaz for less than $100 a night. I was with my friend, and so splitting that, it was like $50 a night each to stay at a hotel that otherwise would have cost 25,000 Hyatt points a night. We got free breakfast. They had a spa that anyone could access. They had a pool complex. They had beach access. So it was a really comfortable, luxurious, amazing stay that cost us each $50 a night, which is just kind of mind-boggling to me. And at that point, it was totally worth the extra heat because, I mean, Dubai's hot year-round. And to me, the difference between like 90 degrees and 100 degrees, my body like barely even registers that. So the fact that it's so much cheaper and there's so much more value to be had, I don't really care about that incremental change in how hot it was. Some people might, but for me, it was well worth it. Okay, so that was a big trip. There were like six or seven more countries on that trip, but not too much interesting happened there. The next big trip I took was to South America, and I went to Rio de Janeiro for my birthday, which Marriott ruined. I wrote a whole newsletter about that. I think the newsletter is called Marriott Ruined My Birthday, so it should be pretty easy to find. There was a huge mishap. They, my reservation just dropped off my account randomly one day with no notice. It was over 100,000 points. I was like treating myself to this nice stay at a luxury hotel in Rio. And then like 2 days before my trip, the reservation just fell off my account. I didn't get any notification. I didn't get my points back. I didn't get anything. You can read about it. I won't go into it. But essentially, I booked a different Marriott hotel in Rio for a few nights. It ended up working out okay. I was really upset with that outcome, but I still enjoyed Rio a ton. And then from there, I went to Paraguay. And this is, I love going to places that are sort of off the beaten path a little bit. And I really enjoyed learning about Paraguay, meeting some people in Paraguay. I was only in the capital city of Asunción, but it's a really cool place. And despite what you might think, you can travel hack there. I stayed 5 nights at a Marriott property in Asunción. It cost me about 40,000 points for the 5 nights, which is a great deal. And yeah, it was awesome. And I flew on Gol Airlines. I think on this whole trip, I flew on Gol like 6 times. And Gol is a Brazilian airline that partners with a bunch of programs. They partner with KLM Air France Flying Blue. You can book them with Aeroplan points. And it's a great, great option for flying around South America. They had an amazing on-time record. Their flights were very comfortable, like newer planes, nice comfy seats. Some of the flights had meals, even when it was like an hour long. They're like an all economy airline, by the way. And yeah, it was just lovely. And their lounges too are part of Priority Pass. So even if you're not paying a premium fare on Gol, you can, if you have a Priority Pass membership from one of your credit cards, you can get into the Gol lounges around Brazil, which are pretty nice. So it was just an awesome experience. And it's nice to like know there are these airlines out there that are cheap, are bookable with points, and will give you like a good, comfortable, and on-time experience. So when I fly around South America, that's going to be, I'm going to look towards Gol. And that's G-O-L, Airlines Gol. Okay, and then moving on to the last like big trip of my year. Another massive around-the-world trip. This started off in August and took me into October. I started off in Japan, in Kyoto, and I stayed at the Hyatt Place Kyoto for $75 a night. So again, you think of these places like Japan, these really popular tourist destinations like Kyoto, in the summer when most people are traveling, kids aren't in school, like a lot of people take their vacation time. And yet you can stay at a really nice Hyatt Place in Kyoto for $75 a night. It was awesome. Very comfortable. It had a cool, unique, like Japanese flair to it. So it had like this really zen feel with lots of like clean lines and wooden furniture and amazing design, super comfortable in an amazing location in Kyoto, brand new. It just opened last year, $75 a night in the summer season. So there you go. From Japan, I flew to China, and this was one of my favorite travel hacks of the year. China, you can transit through if you are a U.S. citizen, and I think more than 50 other countries they allow this for. You can transit through Japan for up to 6 days. Technically, it's like 144 hours. And that clock starts at midnight after you arrive. So you can think about it as basically a one-week situation. And the only catch is that it's only for a handful of cities, the bigger cities like Beijing and Shanghai. I did this in Shanghai. And the other catch is that it's transit, which means you have to arrive from one country, and then the next country you go to from China has to be a third country. So you can't, I couldn't have gone from Japan to Shanghai back to Japan. What I did was Japan, Shanghai, and then Taipei, Taiwan. And so that fit all the requirements. I spent like 4 nights in Shanghai, and it was awesome. It just like blew my mind how cool of a city Shanghai was. So cool to be in a place that not a lot of people are going to right now, for various reasons, the main one being that it took China a long time to open up after COVID. They were really, really locked down and still in some ways are. It's hard to get a normal visa now for China, but this transit makes it super easy. I showed up at the airport, saw a huge sign that was like 6 day transit, come over this way. Just very obvious. I went there, gave them my hotel and flight information. They gave me a sticker in my passport and sent me on my way. And it was just awesome. I enjoyed it so, so much. It was hard to get on the internet there, but I used a VPN and a virtual SIM card, and everything worked fine. I was able to communicate, check my email, go on social media. And so all of these challenges that people talk about, it wasn't that challenging. It was actually really enjoyable. The people were so nice. I took the subway everywhere. It was very easy to navigate. I did so much cool stuff. And in fact, a little over a week from now, I will be back in China, in Beijing, doing the same exact thing, that visa-free transit opportunity. And I could not be more excited. So go to China if you can. And then after Taiwan, on this trip, I went to Cambodia. Now, Cambodia was awesome. I stayed at the Park Hyatt, which is Hyatt's like most premium, top-tier luxury brand. And because it's only a category, I want to say 3 hotel, in the off-peak season, it only costs 9,000 Hyatt points a night, which is really good for a Park Hyatt. You don't really see that very often. There are some category 1 and 2 Park Hyatts, more on that next month when I'm at those hotels. But still, 9,000 points for a Park Hyatt was incredible. They upgraded me to their best suite, which gave me access to my own huge private pool directly from my suite. It was really, really awesome. Just kind of over the top luxurious stay. And then from there, I stayed also, this was in Siem Reap, by the way, the city in Cambodia, which is near Angkor Wat and a lot of those really historic temple sites. So it was awesome to stay in such a cool hotel and the perfect spot to experience Cambodian history and all of the sites that people want to go there for. Then I also in Siem Reap, I stayed at the Angkor Village Hotel for a few nights, which is an SLH, Small Luxury Hotels of the World property. I wrote about this in the newsletter, and Megan and I talked about this in a podcast episode about getting elite benefits without needing elite status. Basically, if you're a World of Hyatt member, meaning you just have a free membership, no elite status or anything, and you book an SLH hotel through Hyatt, which you can just see in this normal search, you don't have to do anything special. Everybody who does that will get perks like free breakfast, room upgrades, late checkout, and more. And so basically, even if you're just a normal member and don't have elite status, you'll get benefits at these hotels that make you feel like you have elite status. And this hotel in Siem Reap, Cambodia was one of those properties. And it was really cool. It had this, it was sort of all built on like these stilts over water in the middle of the city and with these huge walls around it. So you felt like you were kind of in the Cambodian jungle almost. And it had this very traditional feel, but then the rooms themselves were very nice and very comfortable. So it was really cool to be in the middle of a city, but you feel like you're somewhere totally different. You feel like you're in this more traditional place, but then you're also very comfortable. It was just all around an awesome experience. So I can't recommend that hotel enough either. From Cambodia, I flew to Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. And this was sort of a break in the trip for me. It was just a time to chill out for about a week in a city that has everything I could possibly need. Just a massive bustling city that I love. It's just, it's got history, it's got modernity, it's very cheap, it's very affordable. There's lots to see and do. It's a great place to like work and just sort of hang out for about a week between the major portions of this long around the world trip. And I actually spent cash on a Marriott hotel in Kuala Lumpur because I had a credit card signup bonus on one of the Chase Marriott cards that I signed up for. And part of the signup bonus is if you stay 6 paid nights in Marriott by, I think, January, you would get another 50,000 bonus points in addition to the other part of the signup bonus. And so this was perfect because in Kuala Lumpur, there are really nice Marriott hotels that you can get for like $60 a night each. And so I stayed at the, I forget the name of it. I should have looked this up. What was it? Stripes Hotel or Hotel Stripes, one of those two. It was really nice. Great location. Very comfortable, had this sort of luxury feel. I got free breakfast, great elite benefits, and it only cost $60 a night. And because of that, I was able to knock out this whole requirement for the signup bonus for $350-ish, get my 50,000 bonus points, and there was a Marriott promo going on at the time as well. And because of my elite status, the promo, my credit card, and these bonus points, I came away with closer to like 60 or 65,000 Marriott points in the end for this stay. So well worth it, and a great opportunity to just knock that part of the sign-up bonus out really easily and for not too much money. From there, I flew to Mauritius on Air Mauritius. And if you don't know Mauritius, it's a tiny little island sort of off the coast of Madagascar in the Indian Ocean near the French territory of Réunion. And Mauritius is just a super nice, like, luxury island getaway with stunning geography, mountains, and beaches. And unfortunately, I was only here for 24 hours. It was actually just a layover that I booked on my way to Madagascar. But still, I got to spend a night there at an IHG hotel, the Holiday Inn. And I got to, they actually have a shuttle that'll take you to beaches and things like that. So even though I stayed close to the airport in Mauritius, I was able the next morning after I arrived to go take the shuttle from the hotel and go spend a day at the beach, which was awesome. And then come back, go to the airport, and continue on to Madagascar. Madagascar was really cool. I won't go into too much detail of the Africa portion of this trip because there weren't a ton of ways to use points and miles, even though I did. But I went to Madagascar, Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda, Ethiopia, South Africa, Zambia, Zimbabwe, Botswana, Togo. It was a big African sort of whirlwind, but here are some of the highlights. I already told you about Tanzania and why I love Tanzania. Uganda was really cool because I stayed in a super luxury hotel there, the Four Points by Sheraton, which if you are in the US, you hear that and you think, ugh, gnarly, because that's how Four Points hotels are generally domestically. But in the Middle East and Africa, Four Points hotels are nice. And this was a brand new hotel, probably the nicest hotel I've stayed at in Africa, and it only cost 10,000 Marriott points a night, which is ridiculous. It was very nice. I met up with a Daily Drop reader there as well, Wilson, who lives in Kampala, Uganda, who may or may not be listening to this. I know he listens to the podcast. So Wilson, thanks again for meeting up. It was great to meet him. I love meeting up with Daily Drop readers and listeners around the world. It's really cool to know that we have fans, even in places like Uganda, who enjoy this content. So just as a side note, that's something that's always really special to me. But then I went to Cape Town, South Africa on this trip, which was really cool. It became one of my favorite cities that I've ever been to because it was just stunningly beautiful. I did a lot of hiking, a lot of walking around, exploring. It was just a really good time. I won't go too much into Cape Town, but if you haven't been there, I highly recommend it. The highlight, I think, travel hacking wise of this trip was the rest of my itinerary. So I flew to Zimbabwe, ended up not being able to access the internet at all, and being someone who had meetings and has to write a travel newsletter every single day, I needed that. So I actually walked across the border to Zambia and to get some internet. It was a whole mess. Listen to episode 2 of the podcast, and I'll tell you a little bit more in that episode, my whole story of crossing the Zambia-Zimbabwe border, getting a hotel at the last minute, potentially running into some monkeys along the way. But yeah, from there, I spent a few days in Zambia and Zimbabwe, and then I flew in business class home from Victoria Falls, Zimbabwe, with a stopover in Gaborone, Botswana, then up to Addis Ababa, and then to Togo, and then to New York City, and then to Toronto, all in business class, which was awesome. I talk about this in one of the past episodes as well, but because of Air Canada's dynamic pricing, I was able to book this flight, which normally would have cost 110,000 Aeroplan points, for like 87,000 Aeroplan points, just because of that tiny last leg from New York City to Toronto. At the very end of the trip, because that was on Air Canada, it triggered dynamic pricing, and therefore the award chart didn't matter, and it averaged a bunch of weird points prices together. I just got lucky. I didn't do anything special to find this. I was just searching for flights home and found it. So there's not anything too actionable other than sometimes dynamic pricing can be in your favor instead of sort of work against you. Let's see. Oh yeah, on that same note, so most of that trip was in business class, and Ethiopian Airlines has an amazing layover / stopover program, where if you have an overnight layover in Addis Ababa, whether you're flying economy or business, they will put you up in a hotel and give you two meals. And that's even if you book Ethiopian on points through a totally different program like I did, which I booked through Aeroplan. And I did this a few times on this trip, transited through Addis Ababa, and they put me up in a hotel every single night. It was really nice, really comfortable, and honestly just surprising. And it's one of the reasons I love Ethiopian Airlines. They give you a lot of value. The service is really good. The onboard product isn't groundbreaking, but it's still very comfortable. In business class, you're still in a lie-flat bed. If you like Ethiopian food, they serve like this buffet of injera and shiro and tibs and all the best Ethiopian food on the plane, which is really cool. So I just really, really enjoyed all of my time on Ethiopian Airlines. I always do. I've flown them quite a bit over the years. Can't recommend them enough for flying around Africa. Then to finish off the year, I went on a trip to Europe, to Scotland and Prague. I won't get into that because last time I got into that, I got some major backlash from you because I wasn't a huge fan of Scotland. Not going to dwell on that point. I regret bringing it up again already. In Prague, though, I stayed at the Lindner Hotel, which is a Hyatt Category 1 hotel that cost me 3,500 Hyatt points a night for my five-night stay in Prague, which was just amazing. I mean, it was in a cool, historic part of the city, good location. The hotel itself, honestly, was not that special. It was not the greatest hotel, but for 3,500 points a night, it's just, you just can't beat that, especially in a major tourist European capital. And it, again, just takes me back to Hyatt points are so valuable no matter where you're traveling. Even in a really touristy place in Europe, you can still get this hotel for 3,500 points a night, let alone all of the other examples I gave around Europe and Africa and India and Asia and South America that also have amazing Hyatt hotels that cost that few points. Then to finish off the year, my latest big trip was to Mexico City. I spent about 12 days in Mexico City. It's my favorite place in the world. I've talked about it in the newsletter a bit, so you can read about that in the Daily Drop newsletter from a couple weeks ago when I was there. I stayed at the Andaz and then a Marriott hotel. Nothing too crazy other than I just highly recommend Mexico City. It is a total gem of a city, and it's right in our backyard as North Americans. I think it's incredibly underrated. I think it's way better than any of the other more popular Mexico destinations like Cancun. It's very different. It's not what you expect when you think of Mexico. It's up in the mountains. It's like twice the size of New York City. It's a bustling metropolis with tons and tons to do. The weather is perfect year-round, not too hot, not too cold. And there's a lot of history, a lot of modernity. It has everything you want in a city. And I can't recommend it enough. When I was there, we did have a pretty major earthquake happen when I was there with a couple of friends. We were in our hotel at the Marriott, pretty high up on like the 16th floor. And that was really scary. The second earthquake, I had another one earlier this year at a Hyatt hotel when I was in India. We were on the 18th floor for that one. So I've had bad luck with earthquakes this year, but unfortunately in Mexico City, that's not uncommon. So if you have issues with that, then maybe I recommend staying on a lower floor. But that's besides the point. Anyways, that is some of the stuff that I did this year. I think some of the best hacks that I used, some of the best redemptions I made, some of the coolest destinations I went to. And like I said earlier, my year isn't even done yet. So one day after this episode goes live, I'll be flying over 10,000 miles overnight on New Year's Eve. So when New Year's hits, I will be over an ocean. I won't tell you which one. But I'll be going to a new country that I haven't been to before, a really cool destination, doing something very, very unique. And I mentioned earlier that I'd be in China soon. This is not China. I'm going somewhere before that. And that'll kick off another epic trip. But if you want to hear about that, I will be talking more about it in the newsletter next week on Tuesday when we come back for the Daily Drop newsletter, which we will link in the show notes to this. There are too many things to link to that I mentioned in this episode. So if you want to reference something that I referred to, just go on the Daily Drop website, dailydrop.com, and just use the search bar and just search, and you should be able to find any of the topics or new specific newsletters that I mentioned and referred to in this episode. So I hope you enjoy this. I hope you got some value from it and are able to take away some of the cool hacks that I used and maybe use them for yourself down the road. And otherwise, thanks so much for tuning in this past year to the podcast and the newsletter. And I look forward to joining you for another podcast episode next year. Have a happy, healthy, and safe new year, and I will see you all soon.